Hour number three of 3D on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great start to your week. Darren, Derek, and Donick with you every day, 10 to 2. We have had a lot of folks already join us. Jeff Kelty, Predators chief amateur scout in the first hour. Chris Cook from the Chicago Tribune talked about all the moves the Blackhawks made. You also just heard from David Poile, Predators GM, also their first-round pick from Finland. 18-year-old young man they've got huge expectations for. They thought it was a steal that he was still there at the 30th pick. Now we head east, and we head to Knoxville. This time every Monday, we bring in our man Vince Ferrara from WNML in Knoxville, at Vince Sports on Twitter. Vinny, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Good, guys. It went well. Hope yours was strong as well.
Yeah. Yeah. What's new and exciting in Knox, Vegas?
Well, just a couple weeks to SEC Football Media Days, as you know, and that's sort of the official or maybe even unofficial kickoff to football season. Camp start not long after that, although there's a little bit of a gap this year because it's starting so early. But that really gets you revved up for football, and then before you know it, fall practices will be here. So really just getting ready for that, and recruiting keeping us occupied here in the off season, as well as some interviews with some of the coaches as well.
You do a lot of work with the baseball team. You call their games and being a part of their broadcast, done stuff on SEC Network. You follow college baseball pretty closely. What do you think tonight, getting cranked up, championship game in Omaha? And guess what? Good news for SEC fans. It's going to be an SEC team that's going to take the crown.
SEC.
Everybody. SEC. Everybody. No. LSU, Florida. Pretty cool. What do you think?
Well, I'll go LSU. Florida has relied on Alex Faedo, who is a first-round pick of the Tigers, an awful lot. But it's a best-of-three series. And I think LSU has more ways to win, where Florida, their pitching is fantastic. Sometimes, though, their offense can get a little quiet and they have to rely too much on their pitching. But, you know, they've been amazing again under Kevin O'Sullivan. And I think that's really, besides the fact that it's all SEC, that's the biggest thing, is Kevin O'Sullivan has been an amazing coach, one of the best in college baseball, first D1 gig, by the way, head coaching gig, like Tim Corbin, like many of the others, Dan McDonald at Louisville. This thought that you have to be an established coach to have had a coaching track record in order to succeed in college baseball, I think is a little bit of a football mentality. So he's a great example. You hire an elite coordinator, if he's got the goods and the resources, you can win, and Florida certainly has both. But O'Sullivan hasn't been able to cap it off with a national championship yet. So that's in front of them. Florida's come close, as we know, before. South Carolina has been matched up in the finals. So it's the run for – that's one part of it. And then mention the SEC as well. This is the fifth all-SEC national title since 2011 in multiple sports, and it happened with South Carolina and Florida back in 2011. But this run that the SEC has been on, the SEC has had at least one team in the College World Series Championship Series 9 of the last 10 years.
That is unbelievable.
And in that period, in 10 years, because they've had two teams there, they've had 11 teams competing for the national championship in the last 10 College World Series seasons. It's pretty amazing, the consistency, and it just shows you how good this league is.
And it's not just the same school every time. There have been multiple participants there, but you're going how many total schools? LSU, Florida, Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Who else is in
State?
It? Mississippi,
yeah.
State. Absolutely. So you got a lot of teams that have taken their turn.
Yep, no doubt.
Another big weekend for Butch Jones and his staff. They hit a home run or home runs on Saturday.
Yeah, it started Saturday with a really good running back, probably their top running back target left on the board, and Jalen Dixon, who's one of a couple of Georgia kids that committed over the weekend. And, you know, he had Alabama and Michigan State and Florida and South Carolina, Virginia Tech, a lot of really good schools that were after him. He said that the coaches told him that he reminds them of Alvin Kamara. It's a pretty nice compliment. Hmm. He's a four-star, so that's a good thing. They also picked up
So they're not going to let him play. At times, then, if that's the case.
Nice.
They're going to hold him out of the game.
D-Mace. So he'll get 4 to 5 carries a game.
Absolutely.
Until somebody gets hurt or there's an outburst on the bench.
Yeah, we know where Derek stands on playing Alvin Kamara. So.
Good line. Yeah. That was quick.
Anthony Grant was the second running back that committed over the weekend. Most services have him as a 3-star from Buford, Georgia. He had offers from North Carolina, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech. And then probably the least surprising of the trio over the weekend was a defensive lineman who was a former LSU commit, Jamarcus Chapman. He decommitted from LSU last week. He had been putting out all kinds of tweets from him in the film room and just him and Orange, and you just knew that it was just a matter of time before he jumped on board. He's either a 3 or a 4, depending on your service, and you certainly can't have enough of those defensive linemen. And you know, he picked Tennessee over Clemson, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, and I guess LSU since he had decommitted from there as well. So they were big, and he's another Georgia kid. So big in Georgia, which I think that to me they've been bringing in a lot of guys and going after a lot of guys from the state of Florida. I think Georgia is where Tennessee can make its biggest impact. Some of those guys that they have in their 2018 commit class right now from Florida don't have offers from the big three in the state of Florida, but they have a number of guys on the staff that have connections to Florida, Larry Scott and others. So I think that Kevin Beard's the other one. And so they like kids from Florida. They like the speed and athleticism, but that's a little bit, to me, a little bit of a red flag when the big three aren't offering those players in their own backyard. But Tennessee likes them. They did it in the last class. They're doing it again in this class. And this weekend they really upped their Georgia commitments. And now they're in 3 of the 4 major services. They're 5th in the country in the recruiting team rankings and 2nd in the SEC. Only ESPN has them 8th and 2nd in the SEC. So a really nice run for Tennessee in recruiting.
Vince, last night I got the opportunity to be on one of the local sports Sunday night shows, kind of just talking all things local, hitting all the teams. And, of course, we got to UT, kind of a roundtable discussion. Mm-hmm. We had John Curry on the show last week. Mm-hmm. And everybody's trying to – the question is, you know, where is Butch Jones? You know, what is the expectations going into – what does he have to do? Is he on a hot seat? Is he not on a hot seat? Everybody seems to differ on what he has to do. What does his body of work have to look like this year, especially with the new AD? John Curry's been on the post basically 3 months in Knoxville. We already have seen with the baseball program what that means when it's not your hire. So what does Butch Jones have to do? He beat Florida last year, but obviously had the loss to South Carolina and Vanderbilt at the end of the year, didn't win the division. With a new AD, what does the look have to be this year, in your opinion, for everything to be okay?
Well, it's a fair question. It's debatable, and you said there at the end, in my opinion, so I will couch it with that, because I've had many debates on the air on what Butch Jones needs to do, and it may not differ drastically, but I'll give you an example. We took a call on our afternoon show on Friday, I believe it was, and the guy said, hey, you know, if Butch doesn't win 9 games, you know, I think it should be done. And, you know, basically saying 8, you know, I'm ready to move on, and 7 for sure. And that's kind of been my point, is that I think that's a higher bar, that fan bar, which we have heard before. Not everyone shares it, but it's a common bar of you better win 9 or I'm done with you, like some fans have. I think that is not equal to UT's bar. I think UT's bar is 7 or 6, depending on how those all go down. Is Tennessee in a bunch of close games with a ton of injuries and only losing to the best teams on their schedule? Do they beat a team they aren't supposed to on paper, but then have bad losses that prevent them from getting in into the SEC championship? What do those six or seven how do you get to those points?
You think there's a scenario where he survives a 6-6 or 7-5 season?
Seven and five. Yes, I absolutely do think 6-6. We're getting into here's what takes it from a cigarette lighter to a full out flames on fire is if fans stop going to Neyland Stadium.
Yep, that you're no doubt.
Because then you're taking massive amounts of money away. Then people are speaking with their pocket and not showing up. And then the alarms go off within. If people still go to Neyland Stadium and they're 7-5 or even 6-6 with a bunch of injuries and excuses and still a strong recruiting class for next year, I think there's a possibility you could see Butch Jones back.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is the ultimate indicator. It's butts in the seats, and if they're still showing up and that place is still packed, in a 7-5 season, you're right. But as Derek Dooley found out the hard way, when the place is half full, you're pretty much done.
But with Dooley, there was an eroding process. It wasn't just a from sold out to waiting list to 20,000-30,000 empty seats, and that it would have to erode to that within the same season. And that's why I don't know, especially if the collapse comes late, I don't know that can happen within the same season. So that's the Dooley thing. That was over a multi-year dying out, and so that's why it got to the depths it did. And on the recruiting class, real quick, if Tennessee's 7-5, there's a chance maybe with those results they don't hold together this top five class that they have right now. Maybe that disintegrates late. Now you have less of a chance for Butch Jones to push promise of the future if his recruiting class falls apart. Then it's 7-5, empty seats, recruiting class falls apart. Then we're talking about a different set of circumstances. But if everything else, recruiting class and attendance and 7-5, I don't think that's an absolute, like some people do, that Butch Jones would get fired.
All right, more with Vince Ferrara in Knoxville when we come back next on 3D.
Back at you. How fitting. Return of the Mac. How fitting. Return of Vince Ferrara as well. Sports Radio WNML Knoxville. That can be a theme song, Vince.
Return of D-Mac. That's Darren McFarlane. I'm not touching that.
Talk with Vince Ferrara. Sports Radio NML Knoxville, all things UT. Everyone knows what happened with Eric Berry and what he went through 2 years ago. Basically, it's been almost 2 years now, and him not being able to participate in a game that he loved to play, and that's football, and him fighting for his life, most importantly. And then he was able to overcome that. And no one knew if he would come back and be quite the same player, but he came back and he was just as good when he came back than when he left. And the NFL comes out with their top 100 every year, and he made number 13 after what he went through, after missing a full year of not playing football, and to come back and be as good or even better than you were when you left. What is the talk up in Knoxville? I'm pretty sure you guys have gotten a ton of calls on Eric Berry.
Well, it's not surprising, and just his character, his work ethic, his drive, his perspective. He's really amazing, and I think a lot of people are in awe of what he's been able to do, and he's worthy of it. He's an elite safety, an elite player overall in the league, so I think it's appropriate. I think outside of Peyton Manning, he's the most revered, either current or recent, Tennessee player in the NFL. And rightfully so. You know, Jason Witten is very popular as well, and there's plenty of them that are popular because they're VFLs. But I don't think anyone else is in the discussion, in my opinion, for the second most popular, other than Eric Berry.
Now you talked about this team and expectations, or as far as what the record would be, what it would. Would it hurt Butch Jones, help him, whatever case may be? But they just hired their OC not too long ago, Larry Scott. And I know we've talked about this, the whole quarterback battle, losing your running backs, and having to retool. But what would be how optimistic is this offense or coming into the season? Because, yes, they do have – some new players at some key positions, but this is an offensive line also that was young last year, and they're all basically together again, and they're getting older.
Yeah, it's interesting. The offense, there's been a lot of talk about more physicality with the offensive line and more balance. Larry Scott mentioned that in an interview with Jimmy Himes, one of our afternoon hosts, in a one-on-one he did with them, and he talked about them doing more under center and being more balanced. And I think that's music to the ears of Tennessee fans, that to have multiple ways to line up and be able to beat teams, and that physical approach of firing off the football when we've seen offensive lines far too much be passive under Butch Jones, their zone blocking schemes. And I know it's part of the scheme is you're blocking areas and just kind of walling guys off at times, as opposed to, you know, the man blocking where you're firing off. But so Tennessee is talking about doing more of those things. They've dabbled in it a little bit here and there, but they haven't really, I don't think, been committed to it, especially at the goal line. So I think those are all two very positive steps. If this offensive line is more physical, and part of it is going to be the strength and conditioning if they're strong enough to do it, and they have that mindset and they practice it, I think those can be very positive. And, you know, you mentioned all the experience that Tennessee has on the offensive line. I think they've got 8 guys that I think are legitimately in the starting conversation, possibly 9, but I think 8 strong. And there's a lot of different options that can go on that O-line, including a 5-star in Trey Smith, who I am absolutely convinced, and I have been for a while, and I've told you guys this, that he was going to start. It's either going to be right guard or right tackle, but he's starting somewhere on that offensive line, and it's not because the other guys suck. It's because he's that good, and so they're all having to fight for their spots too. So 110 games of starting experience for that offensive line, that's a huge number. And so I think that's the key to helping the young quarterbacks, the receivers, tight ends, and then obviously a thinner, younger group of running backs as well.
We're talking to Vince Ferrara, Sports Radio WNML in Knoxville, talking University of Tennessee. Vince, going back a few months, there was a lot of, at least discussion, of Philip Fulmer perhaps as an athletic director and what that would look like. They hire a different athletic director. Now they bring in Philip Fulmer officially as basically an ambassador. So what do you think, when it all shakes out, his role will truly be? Because depending on what it is, I think that it proposes a lot of interesting scenarios. That's a resource that they certainly want to use. But I'm curious, for example, what Butch Jones's relationship going forward with Philip Fulmer is going to be. What is the athletic director's relationship with Philip Fulmer going to be? And can that all fit together? If it does, it's a great thing for Tennessee. But I can also see it creating a lot of, well, what does Philip Fulmer think? You know, there's going to be a lot of that if things don't go smoothly.
Sure, and we've already taken the, well, what if Butch Jones and Tennessee have a bad start to the year and Butch gets fired? Any chance that Philip Fulmer comes and coaches? We've already taken those phone calls. The first day.
The first day. He's gonna pull a Barry Alvarez on.
And ask me if I'm surprised that
right.
happened. if it's a crazy possibility, they're talking about it. You know, Peyton Manning, offensive coordinator, John Gruden, all that. Yeah, so those crazy scenarios are always on the mind. But that's going to be those are going to be fan topics of discussion. The key for Tennessee is that it doesn't get in anybody's way. I think Philip Fulmer can be a good resource. He's already talked about pulling people in the same direction. He's obviously going to do great in terms of in the community and raising money. I think when people see him and meet him out in the community, fans or potential sponsors, all that kind of stuff, they're going to think about the positives, the great times and all that more so than anything else, the way it ended or any of that. So I think it can overall be very positive. I think it's a good PR move. I think even though John Curry wasn't his call, I think the fact that he and Philip Fulmer have talked and met and it at least seem to be trying to grow their relationship or repair it, however you want to say it, I think that's a real positive as well. This is something that UT has wanted to do for a while, and so they finally got it done, and Butch Jones gets along great with Philip Fulmer from what we hear. And, you know, it wasn't Butch Jones's call, but I'm sure he was in the loop as far as that happening, and I'm sure he was fine with it. It's just if everything goes bad, that's when you're going to hear, you know, the potential of, you know, what does Phil Fulmer think, as you mentioned, or, you know, hey, he's looking over his shoulder to take over and all this kind of stuff. But if Tennessee takes care of its own business, none of that stuff is going to surface. It's just maybe a potential added thing that people will throw in if it goes bad. But if it goes bad, it's going to go bad for their own reasons, not because Philip Fulmer is now an assistant to the UT president.
By the way, how crazy is it about David Blackburn at Chattanooga?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think that whole process, Darren, it hurt him, and being so open about it, I think that maybe strained some relationships down.
I would agree. Now you see why coaches hate when that stuff gets out there, because it's hard to go back.
Right.
Once that stuff goes one direction. Vince, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for doing this. Have a great week, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Real quick, if anyone wants more, I did a position-by-position breakdown. Just ended yesterday, 9 days every day. You can go to Sports Radio WNML. Just look for the blogs, my name, and you can go back and check out my thoughts on all the positions for Tennessee football. Appreciate it, guys.
Good stuff. Vince Ferrara at Vince Sports on Twitter, part of Sports Radio WNML. He's been there for years, does a tremendous job. As you know, I'm going to pose the same question that I threw at Vince to Derek and Willie when we come back about Butch Jones. We'll tackle that subject when we come back. First, Willie, you have a word about Lee Company.
All right, let me tell you about Lee Company. 567-1000 is the number. And if you're in that summer mode right now and you're starting to plan for the upcoming school year, if you've got kids and you're trying to get in the groove, think about becoming a member of the yearly checkup club, the home maintenance plan that Lee Company offers you, because it's a great way to work it into your budget and think about a long-range saving program. Here's what you get when you're part of the home maintenance plan for Lee Company. You get yearly checkups on your air conditioning, your heating, your plumbing, your electric. You pay a very small monthly fee, $8-9 a month. In exchange for that, you get these free checkups, and if repairs ever need to get done over the long term, you'll get discounts on those repairs. That's the great solution for Lee Company. You're going to save money in the long term. So call that number, 567-1000, and ask to become a member of the home maintenance plan. Or go online at leecompany.com, and you can check it out there and make an appointment to have them come out and check those systems for you. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Let their decades of expertise go to work for you.